A middle-aged woman, she has a heart attack and is taken to the hospital. While on the operating table, she has a near-death experience. During the experience, she sees God, and she asks God, "Is this it?" God says no and explains that she has another 30 years to live. Upon her recovery, she decides to just stay right there in the hospital and to make the most of the opportunity to change her looks, to have some work done. A facelift, liposuction, breast augmentation, tummy tuck, etc. And she even has someone come in and change the color of her hair. She figures, well, I have another 30 years of life. I might as well make the most of it. So she walks out of the hospital after all the work is done and is killed by an ambulance driving by. She arrives in front of God and complains, "I thought you said I had another 30 years. God answers her, "Yes, however, I didn't recognize you. You've changed." So I want to thank Lowell Corbin for this particular joke. Robin found the joke. It was in Lowell's favorite joke list. And it fits the sermon this morning because it talks about change. And speaking of change, whether it's body, mind, or spirit, I'd like you to consider another passage. Thank you to Tom for sharing his words about Jonah. We'll get to that a little later. But this is a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus did something which may cause some surprise in the Christian community because he changed his mind. Here's the scripture. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a woman from Canaan, from the region, came out, and she started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away. She keeps shouting after us." So Jesus answered her, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." But she came and she knelt before him, saying, "Lord, please help me." Jesus said to her, "It is not fair to take the children's food and to throw it to you dogs." She replied, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. So there is the reading. Our temptation in reading this account may have us conduct what is called apologetics, where we might suggest that Jesus knew all along that he was going to heal the Canaanite woman's daughter. Unfortunately, Matthew doesn't tell us that Jesus knew all of this well in advance. The harsh words offer up a different story, indicating how this Canaanite mother presents her case to Jesus in such a compelling way as to change his mind, to open his heart, and to widen his mission to include people who were not Jewish. Jesus did not know what he was going to tell her in advance. At this point, we might celebrate how wonderful it is that Jesus included all people, not just the Hebrew people of Israel, as worthy of his mission in the world. A wonderful thought that this is. The unexpected issue raised here is the humanity of Jesus, and it might do us all some good to consider that he was a human being just like the rest of us, confronted with hard choices, making bad decisions, and uttering some very harsh and cruel words to others while simultaneously attempting to learn and grow and correct his future mistakes. We already have gospel evidence of the humanity of Jesus. He wept and lost control of his emotions. He became disappointed in others and even angry. At times he was interested in being around people. At other times he needed space. He just wanted to be alone. Jesus had moments of satisfaction, moments of great joy, and he also suffered and struggled and experienced pain and hardship just like the rest of us. Christian church doctrine, since its establishment 300 years after the death of Jesus, has emphasized the sinfulness of people and the sinlessness of Jesus. Creeds and religious instruction have conveyed through the centuries that while Jesus was human as Christ, he was also without sin. He was divine. He was God. Despite the anger at the money changers and the weeping at the death of Lazarus and his suffering on the cross, as well as his change of mind with the woman from Canaan, he was still, like the firstborn sacrificial lamb, Jesus was without blemish. While this all comes down to a matter of belief, it is my suggestion that we concentrate more on the humanity of God rather than the divinity of Christ. I believe that we can be more in tune with the ministry of Jesus when we can identify with him. At times, we rise above our human nature and appear as perfect angels without blemish. And at other times, we fall down, revealing the beast in the jungle. We are a combination of good and bad, blessing and curse, sin and sanctity. We do the right thing one day, the wrong thing the next. We have our good days, we have our bad days. Jesus had his good days, and Jesus had his bad days. Both the Hebrew and Christian portions of the Bible direct us to be honest about ourselves, because the scriptures tell very down-to-earth stories about very down-to-earth imperfect human beings. What seems even more remarkable in the Hebrew scriptures is how often God's mind is changed. Consider that account of God negotiating with Abraham over whether or not to destroy the city of Sodom. Here we have the ultimate reality, the almighty being, God above all gods, creator of the universe, experiencing a change of mind. Abraham says to God, "What if you change your mind and see if there are only 10 good people in the city? Well, then will you destroy it?" Well, God relents and agrees to reconsider and to save Sodom if indeed 10 righteous people are found to live in the city. When there were not even 10 righteous individuals in Sodom, God wiped everything out. Consider the Jonah scripture, where God has a change of mind. Though the Jonah story is often quoted because of the so-called miracle of the big fish, not a whale, the big fish. If you want the whale, go to Pinocchio. And Jonah, you know, didn't. That's another story. The big fish swallowing Jonah. And remember, this is not an actual event. And further, the fish should be considered a device to return Jonah to the city of Nineveh. The central theme of this popular myth focuses on the judgmental and self-righteous character of Jonah, who wants God to destroy the city and the people of Nineveh for their past sinfulness, even though they have repented and turned from their evil ways. They're pleading for forgiveness. God has a change of mind and accepts the people's repentance, therefore allowing the city and all of its inhabitants, including the animals, like they had something to do with it. He allowed them all to live. The meat of the story comes afterwards, though. Jonah is disheartened with the decision. He feels that God has made a big mistake by forgiving the people, because there must be some form of punishment for past sinfulness. While Jonah sulks under a bush, grumbling about the unfairness of it all, God explains to him that it takes a lot of work to create men, women, children, and animals. If they work at changing their behavior, then even the Almighty Creator ought to be able to change. Jonah is left under the bush at the end of the story. Of course, there are instances where God's mind will not be changed. And we may wonder, what's going on here? In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prays to God that the cup of suffering and crucifixion may be altered, but God's mind is not changed, and Jesus is tortured and executed on the cross. Bringing this to our time, why isn't there a change of mind in God's saving power when a loved one is sick or injured and eventually dies? Does God pick and choose who will live and who will die? Why do scriptures reveal God's changing mind in one situation but not in the next? Were these stories attempts by the biblical writers to make meaning out of chaotic circumstances of their time? As we encounter God in the latter part of the Hebrew Bible, and eventually in the Christian Bible, God seems to mature and does not fall into a category of impulsive, capricious, moody, divine being behavior. During the time of Jesus, the God we encounter has compassion on all creation, suffers with us in times of trouble, and walks with us through the dark valleys. We could ask the question, is God changing, or is it just that our attitudes about God are making all of these changes? It can be threatening for us to see Jesus as a person of flesh and blood who is as mortal as you and I, who lived and taught and died in a specific time and place and culture. All our lives we've been taught different things. The humanity of Jesus means we have to reflect continually on what his life and parables and sayings are trying to teach us today, in addition to what they tried to teach his contemporaries. Why, for example, didn't Jesus speak out against the oppressive slavery of his time? And yet at the same time, why did Jesus speak so forcefully against divorce? Jesus certainly saw slaves all around him, but he didn't say a thing about freeing slaves. Most people don't think of those who oppress others as upstanding citizens, nor do they think of divorced people as adulterers, but Jesus seemed to believe this way. We may argue that slavery during the time of Jesus was different than it was in the United States in the 1700s and 1800s. Or we could say that divorce was more damaging in the time of Jesus than it is in our time. These are qualifications which take us off the course of seeing Jesus for who he really was. Jesus made mistakes. We make mistakes. Jesus changed his mind. We change our minds. Jesus is confronted with a challenging person in the form of the woman from Canaan, who shows that he is wrong about his attitude of other races and cultures and religions, and further, he is wrong about his attitude regarding women. When Jesus uses what would be a profane word in his day, and he calls her a dog, was he having a bad day? Someone who was regarded by those in the Hebrew community as one at the bottom of the food chain, a Gentile and a woman, responds to Jesus with dignity, grace, and patience, asking him to empathize with her situation, and even puts it in the language he used, "Yes, Jesus, but even dogs will eat the crumbs that fall off their master's table." Jesus is overwhelmed by her intelligent, dignified, and gentle response, and cannot do anything else but heal her daughter. I have this picture in my mind of Jesus asking himself, "Why was I so quick to dismiss her? What's wrong with me? Why was I so cruel when I could have been so kind?" Jesus not only had a change of mind, he had a change of heart. My question is, how did this story ever make it into the Christian scriptures? We also find the story in Mark's gospel, though his tradition includes a Syrophoenician woman rather than a woman from Canaan. Possibly the writers believed this story could reach those outside the people of Israel, linking Jesus with the ministry of Paul, who, by the way, also changed his mind when he left Pharisaical Judaism and became a follower of Jesus. Well, for me, this teaching challenges us to live the questions and to recognize how at any moment in our lives we can experience that aha teaching moment from some of the most unexpected people. To follow rules mindlessly is to live as those whom Jesus scolded, the Pharisees. It is to live in fear of our humanity. It is to live in fear of God. But to live as Jesus did, trying to understand what it means to be a faithful child of God by our willingness to listen and to learn and to grow, and therefore to change in mind and heart, is to embrace both the humanity of Jesus and our own humanity. And so, like Jesus, we can experience authentic and meaningful living by showing our willingness to be open to a change of mind and a change of heart. We weep, we laugh, we get mad, we rejoice, we feel discouraged, we feel inspired. We have good days and we have bad days. This scripture from Matthew encourages us to be willing to change our minds and hearts, no matter how old or how wise or how perfect we think we are. Amen.